Tonight we're starting a study on the prophetic chapters in the book of Daniel that deal specifically with the end times or latter days. We're also going to look at some other signs from the Word of God at the end of this series that also prove that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. To me, the book of Daniel is the most important book in the Bible to understand if you want to understand the end times. There are also chapters in the book of Revelation that you will not understand if you do not understand the book of Daniel. But when you understand what God has revealed to us in His Word about the end times, and then when you see these things starting to line up here in these last days in which we are living, you will know that Jesus is coming soon. It should cause us as Christians to seek God as never before. It should cause us to want to reach out to the lost in these last days as never before and warn them, let them know that Jesus is coming soon. If we don't warn them, many will die in their sin or be left behind to go through the tribulation period. But the world knows that times are getting bad in these last days. But yet, when you warn many of them that Jesus is coming soon, many will still show their unbelief. 2 Peter 3:3-4 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This scripture has been brought to my mind many times lately. The Lord, as He has shown me things here in these last days, it has really moved me to reach out to people and to tell them that He's coming soon. But you would not believe the scoffers that I have run into in these last days. It has really shocked me at who some of these were. But this is why we need to understand the Word of God. Amen? Amen. We must be able to show them that God's Word is true and coming to pass just as He said. But we are living in the last days, and by the time we finish this study, you will see that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? Are you ready to get in the Word tonight? If you will, turn to Daniel chapter 1. I want to just summarize a couple of scriptures here, summarize what's going on in Daniel chapter 1 before we get into chapter 2. But in this first chapter of Daniel, certain Jews had been carried captive to Babylon by orders of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon. And as we all know from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah had warned Jerusalem for many years to repent and to turn back to God. Yet they kept worshiping idols, they kept living in their sin, and the judgment did come. And God used Babylon to bring this judgment upon Jerusalem. Now Nebuchadnezzar had ordered the wisest of the captives, which were without blemish, to be set aside for the king's service. And Daniel and his three companions were among the chosen. But Daniel was also a great man of God, and because of his faith, God used him and blessed him in a powerful way. And here in chapter 1 of Daniel, verse 8 and 9, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Right here is the key to Daniel's success. Amen. He loved God so much that he wanted to keep himself pure and holy before God. He did not want to defile himself with the things of the world. And as a result of that, God blessed him in a mighty way. And we see here that God had already brought Daniel into favor with the prince of the eunuchs here. But we can learn a great lesson from Daniel tonight. If we purpose, we as Christians, if we purpose in our heart to keep ourselves pure and holy before God and not defile ourselves with the things of the world, God will use us and bless us, and His favor will be with us in a mighty way in these last days. Amen. And that is what we need. But also one other scripture in chapter 1 I want to look at, and then we'll get into chapter 2. Is verse 17. It says, "And for these four children," we're talking about Daniel and his three companions now, it said, "God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." So here we see that God knows what Daniel is going to need and has now equipped him with the gifts of understanding, visions, and dreams. And we know from the Word of God in Matthew that God knows what we have need of before we even ask. Amen? All right, let's turn to Daniel chapter 2. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1 here in chapter 2. Let's look at verses 1 through 11 here. "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dreams, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is with flesh." Can you see the hand of God at work here? I believe that God caused him to forget the dream. That way he could bless Daniel and give him great favor with the king once he revealed the dream and the interpretation to the king. If Nebuchadnezzar had not been made to forget the dream, the wise men of Babylon, all the astrologers, the magicians, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans would have made up lies to tell the king something that he would have believed. So God, I believe, was at work here. And if you notice in verse 11, it says, even the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans admitted that only God could reveal the dream and the interpretation to the king. Now let's look at verse 12 through 18 here. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and we also know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men about faith. He knew that God would answer of Daniel in action. He told the king that if he would give him time, he would show the king the interpretation of the dream. And he knew, through his faith, he knew that God would answer their prayers. So let's look on here now at verse 19 through 23. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So not only did God answer their prayers, but because of their faith, he was getting ready to bless them in a mighty way. And the first thing we see Daniel doing here is praising God for answering their prayers. Amen. He understood from the dream and the interpretation that God removes kings and sets up kings. He understood that God is in control and that he has a plan and a purpose for everything. I want to tell you tonight that whether you voted for our president or not, God is in control. We are living in the last days, and God is setting the stage for his end time plan to begin. In Jeremiah 27, 5 through 6, it says, I have made the heaven, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemeth meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. God is in control. Amen. He removeth kings and setteth up kings, and he has given Nebuchadnezzar his kingdom and his power. Now let's look at verse 24 through 26. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. Daniel is now ready to reveal the dream. Now look carefully and pay close attention here to the next few verses. Let's look at verse 27 here and 28. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. The purpose of the dream has just been revealed to us in this scripture. God is going to show us what will come to pass in the latter days. Amen. It's very important that you understand this. I believe that the latter days he is talking about here are the days in which you and I are living. I truly believe Jesus is coming soon. I heard a man say once on TV that the book of Daniel had nothing to do with the end times or latter days. But verse 28 just revealed to us that it does. Everything we're going to look at through the book of Daniel here, you will see that this is dealing with the end times and the latter days. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight Don't believe what anyone says or teaches if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Amen. Always study the Scriptures for yourself and let the Word of God be the final authority. Amen. There are many today who have been led astray because of false teachings. It's everywhere, and we need to warn them. We need to tell them the truth. Amen. But let's look at verse 29 now. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. So here we see that God is showing us what will come to pass hereafter. He's not only showing us what will come to pass in the latter days, but he's showing us what will come to pass from Nebuchadnezzar's day forward up to and including the latter days. Amen. So Daniel is now, in these next few scriptures, going to reveal the dream to Nebuchadnezzar here in verse 30 through 35. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out of without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So in this dream here, Nebuchadnezzar saw a great image standing before him. The head, of course, in this image was made of five different materials, notice. The head was of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, and the legs of iron, and the feet part of iron and part of clay. And we're going to see what each part of this image represents here in the next few verses. But then as he saw this great image in the dream, he saw a stone, which he said was cut out of the mountain without hands, which struck the image upon its feet and destroyed it. Then the stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So now let's look. Daniel is now going to reveal the interpretation of the dream here, and let's see what all of this represents. It's going to start in verse 36 here through 38. Daniel says, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold." Here Daniel just reveals to us that Nebuchadnezzar, or Babylon, is the head of gold. He reveals to him that God has given him his kingdom, his power, and his strength, and his glory. Amen. And so we see, as we're going to go here, you're going to see that the five parts of this image represent five different kingdoms. And the stone that strikes the image also represents a kingdom. And we'll see this in the next few verses. But God here had given Nebuchadnezzar his kingdom and his power, and he ruled undefeated until God removed him and set up the next kingdom. God has a plan, and when he gets ready to remove one king and set up another, it will happen. Amen. I'm going to add Babylon to the board here. But remember that God removes kings and sets up kings, and he is showing us what will happen from Nebuchadnezzar's day forward. From Nebuchadnezzar's day forward. Let's look now at verse 39. And after thee, now remember he just said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. And it says, and after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee. This is a second kingdom. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. So here we can clearly see that we're talking about kingdoms. Amen. He says here, notice in this verse, that two other kingdoms are mentioned here. He says that after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. And this second kingdom, or the breast and arms of silver, represents the Medo-Persian Empire. God is now showing us again what will come to pass hereafter. He removes one king, he sets up another, and the Medo-Persian Empire did conquer Babylon and was the next kingdom on the scene, and it's represented by the breast and arms of silver. So let me add Medo-Persia to the board here. All right, the Medo-Persian Empire did conquer Babylon again. Notice also here that it says, then we see in the same verse, in verse 39, the second half here, it says, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. This third kingdom of brass, which will arise, that will bear rule over all the earth, which represents the belly and thighs of brass on the image, is the Grecian Empire. The Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great did conquer the Medo-Persian Empire. And we're going to talk more about this Grecian Empire in chapter 8. We'll talk about it heavily in chapter 8. But Greece was the next kingdom or world empire on the scene after Medo-Persia. These are world empires that ruled undefeated until God removed them and set up the next empire. These are also kingdoms or empires that persecuted Israel during what's called the time of the Gentiles. Now, In what we're looking at, what we're going to look at in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, again, is showing what will happen from Nebuchadnezzar's day forward, but there are two more kingdoms before Babylon that did persecute Israel during the times of the Gentiles, and that was Assyria before Babylon and then Egypt before Assyria. And we'll talk more about this later on. But now let's look at verse 40. And the fourth kingdom, so remember, Babylon was a head of gold, a second one arose, Medo-Persia after it, a third Greece, and now we see a fourth kingdom, which shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. This fourth kingdom here that shall be as strong as iron is the Roman Empire. It is represented by the legs of iron on the great image. Again, this was the Roman Empire. From the description of this kingdom, we see that it would be stronger and more brutal than all of these kingdoms that came before it. And the Roman Empire rose to power, though, after the Grecian Empire had already broken up. Alexander the Great, at the height of his kingdom, I mean, he ruled undefeated everywhere he went, he conquered, but at the height of his kingdom, he died, and his kingdom, after many years of war between his generals, was divided by four of his generals into four separate kingdoms. And again, we're going to talk about that quite a bit in chapter 8. But Rome was the next empire on the scene and did take up the land areas of the former Grecian Empire as it rose on up. But again, I wanted to make that comment that the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great had already broken up at that time. So let me add Rome to the board right here. I hope everyone can see that good. But notice now that on this great image that the materials decrease in value from gold to silver to brass to iron mixed with miry clay. To me it seems that each succeeding kingdom in this dream is inferior in the eyes of God to the one that was before it. But however, they were not inferior in military power and strength. So these four parts of the great image now are history. They are history. Each one of these kingdoms rose and went away just as God said they would. The rest of the dream here from verse 41 on, we are now shifting to the future, to the latter days. And remember again, God is showing us the kingdoms that will rise on the world scene from Nebuchadnezzar's day forward up to and including the latter days. Amen. But each one of these kingdoms rose and fell just as God said it would. I want to tell you tonight that God's word is true and coming to pass just as he said. Amen. All right, let's look at verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. The fifth part of the great image here is the feet and toes of iron, or which were part of iron and part of clay. Now notice here that God did not call this part of the great image a fifth kingdom, even though it is a separate and fifth kingdom. He's speaking of the feet and toes like he's still talking about the fourth kingdom or the Roman Empire. And let's go back for just a second. I'm going to just show you from 38 through 41. At the end of verse 38, he tells Nebuchadnezzar, thou art the head of gold. So there was the first kingdom. And then in verse 39, and another kingdom shall arise after thee. He's showing a second kingdom. And another third kingdom of brass at the end of verse 39. And then in verse 40, and the fourth kingdom. But then when we get to verse 41, talking about the feet and toes, he just says, and the kingdom shall be divided. Do you notice that? God is revealing something to us here. God is revealing to us that this kingdom is going to come from the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. And you are going to see this, you will see this clearly beyond any shadow of a doubt when we get into chapter 7. And I'm bringing it in a little early here because there's something I want to reveal to you and show you in just a few minutes. But we get the hint right here that God is still talking about, you know, looking at the feet and toes like it's still part of that fourth kingdom. But what it's doing is coming out of the same land area in the future, coming out of the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. Now, everyone knows, I'm sure, that the old Roman Empire consisted of countries that lined the Mediterranean Sea, even though some of the countries went a little further inland, but most of them bordered the Mediterranean Sea. All right, let's look at verse 42 now. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be strong and partly broken. Do you notice here now that the focus went from the feet to the toes of the feet? Notice that. God is getting ready to reveal something else to us here. Now let's look at verse 43. I want to read verse 43 and only the first few words of verse 44, and then we'll come back and finish verse 44 later. But verse 43 says, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with miry clay. And in the days of these kings, did y'all notice that there? In the days of these kings, God has just revealed to us that this fifth kingdom is actually an alliance of kings or kingdoms. For he says, in the days of these kings, talking about the toes on the image here. Now here in the Word of God here, God does not tell us that there are 10 toes on the feet of this image or that there are 10 kings. But we know from Daniel chapter 7 and from Revelation chapter 13 and 17 that this is going to be an alliance of 10 kings. Amen. And again, you're going to see this clearly when we get to chapter 7. But this is going to be an alliance of kings or kingdoms that will come from within the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. I also believe that this alliance of 10 kings is going to form in the very near future. Now, if you will look back at verse 41, it said in there that the kingdom shall be divided. Did you notice that? The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron. And in verse 42, we also see that the kingdom shall be partly broken, or partly strong and partly broken. Then in verse 43, it says that they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with miry clay. Now, many have wondered why this alliance of 10 kings would be divided like this. But when you understand where the 10 kings are coming from the land area, same land area the old Roman Empire occupied around the Mediterranean Sea, and even though some of the other countries did extend further inland, you can begin to see why there are going to be divisions here. Amen. I want to read to you a statement that came out of an article I received back in 2007 that I thought was very interesting. The article was headlined, A Mediterranean Union. A Mediterranean Union. Okay, the statement said, a union of most of the Mediterranean Rim countries would include an almost equal number of European, North African, and Middle Eastern states. It said dictatorships would sit next to democracies, Christians next to Muslims, and the affluent or the rich next to the poor. Can you see why this kingdom is going to be divided? Amen. There have been, and just to let you know, there have already been talks of forming alliances among the nations of the Mediterranean since the early 80s. I have been watching this for many years. In fact, there are a couple of alliances that are already in existence right now, and we will talk more about this when we get to chapter 7. But anytime you have an alliance of kings or kingdoms, there's going to be, you know, of nations here, there's going to be divisions between them, and this is going to be a weakness for this alliance of 10 kings as we see here in these verses that we just read. So let me add the 10 kings to the board here. All right. So God has now shown us what kingdoms will rise from Nebuchadnezzar's day forward into the latter days here. Now let's go back, and I want to finish reading the rest of verse 44 here. It says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Did you see that? In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And we all know this is referring to Jesus Christ, who returns to earth. At the time these 10 kings are in existence, he will destroy them and set up his millennial kingdom on earth at the second coming. Again, this is going to be an alliance of 10 kings that will exist in the latter days. And Christ's kingdom, when he returns, he will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and his kingdom will stand forever. Amen. Now let's look at verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone were cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So here again, Daniel reveals the purpose of the dream, which was to show us what would come to pass hereafter. He has now revealed to us what kingdoms would rise to power from Babylon's day to the eternal kingdom that Jesus Christ sets up at the second coming. Amen. Daniel is letting us know here, look in the last part of verse 45. Daniel is letting us know here. He said, you can believe it. Or in other words, Daniel says that the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. He's letting us know that if God said it, you can believe it. God's word is true and coming to pass just as he said. Amen. All right, let's look at verse 46 here through 49. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the king's gate. So Nebuchadnezzar now realizes, after Daniel reveals all of this to him, that God is the true and the living God. And we also see the favor of God at work in their lives. Because of their faith here, God has blessed Daniel and his companions in a mighty way. But in this dream again, God has revealed to us what kingdoms will rise from Babylon to the future eternal kingdom of God. And these kingdoms were Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and the future 10 kings that we see here at the end of the scripture here. And it says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that'll never be destroyed. I love that. Amen. Amen. Just as surely as the first four kingdoms in this dream rose and fell, just as God said they would, these 10 kings will rise, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Amen. There is, however, one other kingdom that will rise to power after the 10 kings in the latter days. God doesn't mention it, this kingdom here in Daniel chapter 2, but we're going to see that in Daniel chapter 7. So if you will, let's turn to Daniel chapter 7. And I want to start looking at this. I'm not sure if we'll have time to finish it tonight, but we're going to get started in it. All right, chapter 7, let's look at verse 1 through 3 here. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So in this dream, Daniel sees four great beasts come up out of the sea. And these beasts also are going to represent kingdoms, just like the parts of the image did in Daniel chapter 2. And we'll see this in verse 23 and 24, but here in just a few minutes. But even though Daniel only saw four beasts rise out of the sea, this dream actually deals with six kingdoms, and this will become clear as we go. All right, let's look at verse 4. The first beast, now, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now this first beast, which was like a lion, represents Babylon. It's the same as the head of gold on the great image in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. In the first part of verse 4 here, where we see the wings being plucked, represents Nebuchadnezzar when he was driven from men to live in the field like a wild animal for 7 years. We know this from Daniel chapter 4. But God turned his heart into a beast heart because of his pride. Then in the latter half of verse 4, where it was lifted up and made to stand upon its feet, as a man, and a man's heart given to it, represents Nebuchadnezzar, who returned to his senses after he acknowledged that God is in control of everything. And again, from Daniel chapter 4, we know this. And I want to look at, if you'll turn to Daniel chapter 4 just a minute, I only want to look at a couple of scriptures here for the sake of time. But it's always good to back up what you're saying and show you that this is representing Babylon. So in chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him." So here we see that after his heart was turned into a beast heart, he lived in the wilderness like a wild animals or in the field for 7 years. And we see this a little more clearly in Daniel 4, verses 33 and 34. It says there, "The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws." Now that must have been awful. 7 years living like that because of his pride. Thank God the Lord doesn't deal with people like that today. Amen. And at the end of the days there in verse 34, it says, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." So again, here we see that after 7 years had passed, his understanding returned to him. And again, this is where his heart was turned from a beast heart back to a man's heart. So here in this dream in chapter 7, like the dream in chapter 2, this first beast represents Babylon. Just like the head of gold in chapter 2 represented Babylon. All right, now let's look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. "And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise and devour much flesh." This second beast here, which was like a bear, represents the Medo-Persian Empire. It is the same as the breast and arms of silver that were on the great image. But here we see the bear raising itself up on one side. This represents the strength of Cyrus the Persian, who was the ruler or leader of the Medo-Persian Empire after Darius the Mede. He came up second, but most scholars and teachers also agree with this. But then we see that the bear had three ribs in its mouth. And this represents the three conquests of the Medo-Persian Empire over Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt. So again, the second beast here is the Medo-Persian Empire. Are you starting to see a similarity here? Start to see a little bit, huh? But you can start to see what's going on here again. All right, so let's look now at verse 6. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now the third beast here, which was like a leopard, represents the Grecian Empire. It is the same as the belly and thighs of brass on the great image. Now the four wings here represent the swiftness of Alexander the Great's conquest. And the four heads shown upon the beast here represent the four heads that the Grecian, or four kingdoms that the Grecian Empire was divided into after Alexander the Great's death. But it's also important to remember what kingdom these beasts represent if you want to be able to understand Revelation chapter 13, because we see the lion, we see the bear, and we see the leopard all mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. Amen. So this third beast, which was like a leopard, is the Grecian Empire. Again, these kingdoms rose up one after the other. Medo-Persia conquered Babylon. Greece conquered Medo-Persia. Amen. All right, let's look. Look now at verse 7 here. And I'm going to read down to just the last few words of verse 7. I'm not going to read the complete verse, and then we'll go back to it a little bit after we talk about this. But it says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. I'm going to stop right there for just a minute. This fourth beast, which was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. See a similarity to the dream over here? It represents the Roman Empire. It is the same as the legs of iron on the great image on the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. But this beast was so terrible, many call it a nondescript beast because it was not described as an animal like a lion or a bear or a leopard. But it was so terrible. But this is a fitting description for the Roman Empire and the atrocities that they committed. And we know also the atrocity or the horrible way that they treated our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But this fourth beast, again, is the Roman Empire. We see the iron in it here in this dream, as well as the legs of iron in chapter 2 there. Now these four kingdoms, just like in the dream Nebuchadnezzar had, these four kingdoms up to this point are now history. The dream is now, again, this dream is shifting to the future. But Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome rose and fell just as the Word of God said they would. And the rest of this dream is yet to be fulfilled in the future. But I believe it will come to pass, and soon. Now let's go back, and I want to read verse 7 and the last few words in it included there. But it says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Does everybody see that? It had 10 horns. God, again, like I told you when we talked about it in chapter 2, you can see it more clearly here. God is revealing to us that the 10 horns are coming from the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. Notice that God did not call this beast a fifth kingdom or a fifth beast or a kingdom. even though it is a separate or fifth kingdom, very similar to the way he talked about the 10 kings over here in Daniel chapter 2. It was like he was still talking about the fourth beast or the Roman Empire. But the 10 horns are the same as the feet and toes on the great image. They represent this future alliance of 10 kings that we talked about in chapter 2, and we will see this in verse 24. And again, this is an alliance of 10 kings or 10 separate countries that will form in the latter days from the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. And this is why most Bible scholars call this kingdom a revised, not revived, but revised Roman Empire. However, it is not a revival of the Roman Empire, because this is going to be an alliance of 10 kings from 10 separate countries. But the reason God showed it to us this way is so that we will know where they are coming from. And remember that the Roman Empire was made up mainly of countries that border the Mediterranean Sea, although some of the countries did extend further inland. And so now that we know where the 10 kings are coming from, that's the reason God showed us this. He wants you, us who are living in the last days, to know where to look. He doesn't want this to be a mystery to us. He wants us to know He's coming soon. And when we see things lining up in this area, we will know that He is coming soon. But only the people living in the last days would be able to see this as it starts to happen. Amen? But now, from 19, I want to tell you about a few articles and things that were going on over the past few years. From 1994 through 1998, there were yearly meetings taking place towards the development of a Middle East, North Africa economic community. Now, I wondered at that time if that was going to be the 10 kings, you know, because Middle East, North Africa, that's the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. But however, this was when Prime Minister Rabin was in Israel. But now, after his death, we all know he was assassinated by one of his own. After his death, the hardliners got in Israel that weren't as willing to give up their land for peace, thank God. Amen. You know, and so all talks of a Middle East, North Africa economic community soon died away because of tensions that had developed between Israel and the countries or her neighbors in the region. But then another article caught my eye in 2007. It was 8/28/2007. And it was headlined, European Countries Seek New Middle East Force. The first paragraph said, European foreign ministers from 10 Mediterranean countries are seeking to create an international force to police the Palestinian territories. These 10 countries now were Bulgaria, Cyprus, France, Greece, Italy, Malta, Portugal, Slovenia, Spain, and Romania. Now, all of these countries were part of the old Roman Empire territory. However, as far as I know, nothing ever came of this proposal, and I haven't heard nothing about it since. And there's also another reason why I don't believe this was the 10 kings, and I will explain that later. But I also had my eye at this same time on another proposal. Nicolas Sarkozy, who had just took office in France in 2007, had almost immediately proposed creating an alliance among the nations of the Mediterranean that was to be called the Mediterranean Union. And in a meeting in France in June of 2008, he said, and now this sounded prophetic to me. It really sounded prophetic, talking about this union he was wanting to create. He said, "It is no longer time to act or time to talk, but to act. In the Mediterranean will be decided whether or not civilizations and religions will wage the most terrible of wars." Does that not sound prophetic? And we know what's coming in that region. We know what's coming. But then he went on to say, "We must do to the Mediterranean what the Europeans did to Europe 60 years ago." But his plan, again, soon started making waves in the European Union. At that time, Angela Merkel was the head in Germany. And they were angry because they said first that you're going to risk splitting the EU, you know, if you start a union down here, because France would have been in both unions. But what they actually were, they wanted a piece of the financial gain that they saw France making by selling high-tech technology to the underdeveloped countries in the Mediterranean region here. So again, his plan started making waves, and after much bickering, a watered-down Mediterranean Union was launched on 7/13/2008. But get this now, instead of calling it the Mediterranean Union, the European Union countries decided to call it a Union for the Mediterranean. And so it consists and is made up of all 27 members of the EU nations and 16 non-EU nations. So right now, it's not the 10 kings. But then I received another article on 3/8/2013, which was titled, and the reason I'm showing you these is so you, things are lining up here in this region. Things are lining up, and I've been watching this for years, but I want you to see what's been going on. But I really do believe the 10 kings are gonna form soon. But there was an article I received in 2013 about a dialogue. It was called Dialogue 5+5 of the Western Mediterranean. And the Dialogue 5+5, as they are called, is made up of 10 Western Mediterranean Sea countries. They are Mauritania, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and Libya on the southern rim of the Mediterranean, and Portugal, Spain, France, Italy, and Malta on the northern rim. Now here again, all of these 10 countries are located within the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. And this group was launched in 1990 to begin with. Then it kind of fizzled out and was relaunched again in 2001. And they've had several meetings, you know, since then, but you just don't hear much about them. But the fact that they are talking about forming alliances among the nations of the Mediterranean should cause us all to look for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. But look at what has happened right now. Remember, God removeth kings and setteth up kings. Look at what has happened in Libya and Egypt. Look at what is happening in Syria right now. God is busy right now removing kings and setting up kings in the Middle East. Amen, in this area right now. And again, I believe he is setting the stage for his end time plan to begin. So this 10 horns here are the future 10 kings of the latter days. Everybody following along with me so far? This dream that Daniel had, I want you to notice here, is identical. Identical in meaning to the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in chapter 2 up to this point. Identical in meaning. Nebuchadnezzar saw it as a great image. Daniel saw them as four beasts. But again, as I said, there are definitely two more kingdoms mentioned in this dream here. But look, if you will, in verse 8. It says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. There came up among them, among the 10 horns, another little horn. Can anybody tell me who this little horn is? This little horn is the Antichrist. This little horn is the Antichrist. Notice also here that God did not call this a sixth beast or kingdom, even though this is a separate or sixth kingdom. God is showing us that the little horn will also rise up from within the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. And I can also tell you without any doubt that the country that the Antichrist is coming from is located within the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. And we will see this when we get to chapter 11. Amen. Now I'm going to stop here for tonight, but let me tell you, you do not want to miss the rest of this chapter, and chapter 8 and chapter 11 especially. The focus of God is going to come down onto the Antichrist in chapter 8 and chapter 11, and he is going to start showing us where he's coming from, not just from the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied, but God is going to show us with a little research, and it's very simple, where the Antichrist is coming from. Amen.